Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 13th September 2018, Thursday. We are at Brother Suyan and Mipong's house. Okay, we are going to start the puja now. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Can be seated, then we can get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, the faith, the virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja.
Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sangham namami.
Okay, can be said that, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Oh, I got extra chanting book. Oh yeah, I have it here, don't worry. Okay, turn to page 1. We will chant from the Vandana onward.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.
Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light.
Ganna sarapa ditena, ditena tamadang sina, tiloka dipang sambudang, pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena, dopena hang sugang hina, pujaye pujaniyang tang, puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang, etang kusuma santatin, pujayami munindasa, siri pada sarorohe, pujemi buddhang kasumena nena, punnena matena cha hotu mokang, pupang milayati yata idang me, kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang, adivase tuno bante, paniyang parikapitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang, adivase tuno bante, pale parikapitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang, adivase tuno bante, bojanang parikapitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang.
Now we chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, ritual, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration, by the power of these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Padang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have our half an hour of silent meditation. We are off the light. Then you all just relax body and mind. Maintain silent awareness within. If you still need to train your mind, then go ahead and train. Otherwise, you just relax completely silent and let the mind settle down on itself. When you don't have any attachment or thinking, the mind will on its own naturally relax, slow down, and go back to its original state of stillness before the thinking or the stirring. As long as you don't have problem in life, there is no memory to haunt you or disturb you, then your meditation is very simple. That's why precept is a very important aspect of meditation. Precept is a source of peacefulness of mind. That is the reason. Because when you keep your precept, you don't arise problem. Then you don't have negative thought. You don't have fear, worry, anxiety. So all this is part and parcel of meditation. That's why meditation always starts with sila, which is morality. And when you keep your precept, it's a meritorious action. It's very useful. And precept is also the source of spiritual joy or calmness within. And the last one is a source of spiritual wealth. That's why every time when we take our precept, the monk will chant to you, Silena Sukantinyanti, Silena Bhoga Sampadan, Silena Nibunyanti. So these are the important virtue that you will receive by keeping precepts, and it also bring forth merits and good mind states. So relax, silent, and just allow the mind to be, then let it settle down. Then you have to maintain the awareness within. That's the reason why the four support for awareness-based meditation is always the same. The key first support is relax. Relax into every mind state. Whatever that arises, whether agitation or whatever, just let things be, relax into it. And let it settle down. Then the second support is maintain awareness. If you are relaxed and you can maintain awareness, your mind will return to its original state of stillness, peacefulness, calmness, silence. And you will finally realize your meditative mind, the silent mind, which is also your true mind. Without thought, you are just that essence of mind, that nature within, that is just aware. And that is what you need to develop the stability of it. It will enable you to develop the meditation, the understanding, the wisdom needed for you to awaken. So meditation is very simple when you understand. You don't go and create more thought, don't go and verbalize, don't go and activate the thinking mind and use it to do thought-based meditation. All this will not lead to heedfulness, it will not lead to the silence, the stillness, and you cannot realize your true mind. When you cannot realize the true mind means you cannot realize the state of no thought. And when you cannot have that state of no thought, you are not in the meditative state. Means your mental hindrance are there, your spiritual faculty are not stable. So all these understandings are very important. When you have them, meditation becomes very simple. Okay, now I'll let you continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after that 30 minutes is up. else still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Stabilize it and bring it into the daily life. Then turn to basics. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. You got the mic for English? Huh? Ah, channel that also can. Next time we can command Sri Anon at the back to chant. We let him be feed it inside. Chant Samantha.
Samantha Chakvalesu Atra Gacchan tu devatha sadhammam muni rajas sunantu sakkamokkhadam dhamma savana kalo ayam
Sawakasango.
Nyaya patipano bhagavato sakkasango Samici patipano bhagavato sakkasango Yadidang chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyakhetang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, let us pay respect to Pachyama. Bedang pejemi Damang pejemi Sanghang pejemi Okay, you can be seated. Relax yourself, then maintain some of our attention, then we can continue our second part. Oh, Eric is here. Yeah, just now, Suyan told me you may turn out. Now it's on holiday. Yeah, good to see you after a while. So as usual, the second session is meditation reporting. Followed by whatever question you have regarding the meditation or the teaching. Then just now before we start, I think Suyan pointed out a very good point. He said the problem with Buddhists is they don't know how to apply the Dhamma. You all agree or not? Yeah? You agree or not? Most Buddhists, even meditators or they don't know how to apply the Dhamma. Because yesterday, I think Suyan brought somebody, one lady, together with a friend. And this friend also from SJBA. So they got some problem. Then, it's like not easy for the lady, he said. Why is life so hard, so difficult? And she has to confront some of this noble truth reality, the first noble truth. And one of them is pretty severe. Actually drain her out and make her really, really misery, suffering and all those things. Though there was no peace and all those things. So that's why they say life is not easy. Then I told her, when you don't understand, yes, life is pretty tough, not easy. But when you understand, it's very easy. Then life is not difficult. When you understand, life becomes wonderful. Not only beautiful, wonderful. And you will have this joy inside. That you have this understanding and it can transform a person completely into a beautiful human being, character wise, personality wise, understanding wise. Then when you have all this good virtue, good understanding, your virtue will make you beautiful. That's why we say you will transform into a very different type of person. Your character becomes so beautiful. Your personality also becomes so beautiful. Then you can be a blessing to all. Then you not only don't have to go through suffering, you can have the joy, the peace, the understanding, and you can really live life to the fullest. You get to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life, and this is really possible because you only need to understand this teaching that the Buddha shared. Then later on, of course, we go through a problem, then I start to explain. Then within that, almost 2 hours, I think, she left at about 10, came about 8 something. Supposed to come 8:30, they were early. So after we finished, she learned quite a lot of things. Then Sri An saw, I just talked to her only. I did nothing. I didn't even teach her how to meditate. I didn't even teach her any real Dhamma. The only thing I asked her is, are you in a certain way acceptable to the Buddhist principle? Or is it, I know a little bit about the Dhamma, Buddhism, especially the law of karma. Or I say, that's good. That will make my work easier. But I say, the basic understanding of the law of karma by most Buddhists or cultivator is very shallow. The deep meaning, the real understanding is not there. That's why they got a lot of questions that they cannot come to terms with. They cannot understand why life can become so miserable, why people can become like that, and all those things. And everything went on well. Then I think Sri An saw actually application of Dhamma is the most important. It's so simple, and everybody can understand. The reason why they become miserable is because, like I used to explain to you also, each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or miserable is entirely our choice. So you only need to choose. What will you choose? Choose to be?
Happy,
isn't it? The next question is the one that really, really wake her up. Then why are you not happy? Why are you miserable? Because before she came, I think the friend, the good friend, HGBA, the famous advisor, let go lah. Then, finally towards the end, what she heard was, if that guy make you so miserable and you already cannot take it anymore, then why are you still allowing it to torment you and make you so miserable? There are so much more to life. Not just go and worry about this guy, fear this guy and allow this guy to do all this and hold on to all those memories. This is real delusion, suffering and all those things. Then I say, if he is like that, he already, because of karmic thing and all those things, make you like that, you should just forget about the whole thing. And I say, then start your life again, resolve it amicably and more. Then you know what he told the colleague or not. Yala, not let go lah, is it? Forget about him lah. Straight away, she got the joy inside, Which is the truth. Forget means what? Don't hold, understand? Don't cling. When you hold and cling, that is what attachment is. That's why this accumulation. Remember? Yes, sir? You have a memory. The memory is for you to store one. Store the important thing in there. But not all the psychological memory that give rise to the wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your phobia. And when you know that this is the one that make you miserable, like what Eric went through. You somehow believe this thought of yours. Whatever that make you miserable, you should just forget about it. Because this is all wrong thought. That condition, my misery, suffering, phobia, scars or memory or something. So why do I store them? Why do I hold on to them? You cannot use the word let go. Cannot. Because you haven't understood. When you cannot understand, you will hold, you will cling. And the person who cling cannot let go. But you can forget about it, isn't it? Because this is tormenting you. Just like I hold this one, it is burning hot. The moment I hold, I know it's burning me, tormenting me. What do? Automatically, I will just put it down. I don't have to let go because it's tormenting me. The only thing that you have to learn is to see this. Understand? And with the understanding, you no need anybody to teach you how to let go. Because that is a thought process, which is deluded or delusive. The thought will every time come up with words, idea and concept to teach you to do things that is not the reality. You know what is not the reality? Let go lah. Words only, understand? You cannot do because you don't have the understanding. So the understanding is when you see that he is causing so much suffering in you because you cannot tolerate him. You reacted to what he did and you feel very, very like miserable and unhappy. Because you feel like he take advantage of you, he cheated you, he did so much thing to you. And you talk about fairness and unfair, the duality of it. And this is the one that cook up your mind and make you miserable. So when you see whatever that is torturing you and causing misery to you, you should wake up straight away. This is something I shouldn't touch. I shouldn't hold. I shouldn't accumulate and keep that. Forget about it. And just allow it to pass. Well, this is what life is all about. The reality of life is there is such thing as a law of karma. You have to understand that. That one is the most important right view. When you understand that, then you will understand how the Buddha's teaching can be so powerful and so potent. That's why in the teaching, a lot of cultivators and Buddhists didn't see this point. They talk about it. They even read about it. Sometimes they even share with you in the Dhamma talk or what, but they don't know how to apply. Yeah. They always tell you, mind is a forerunner of all things, especially Visade, the twin words. Then after that, they will tell you, we are all born of all karma, heir to all karma conditions, so we are what we are. After that, they stop there. They didn't even have the understanding of what this thing is. To the Buddha, karma means this form of mind is subject to karma. That's why he said, you means this form of mind, born of karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So if this form of mind want to have happiness, wisdom, peacefulness, the good life, what must you do? Yeah? What must you do? You must take care of? Take care of what? Because you are born of it. You inherited everything. And karma is like 99.999, but almost 100% determine your life. So you have to take care of karma. So how to take care of karma? The famous advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. And when you understand this, this is the real transformation. When you do this, your life changes. You become a different person. Not to believe all the feng shui, the medium, then go and try your luck. They say change your car color, you have better luck. This color shui. You go and believe all those things. Then junction house no good. then your house of feng shui no good. All this is not going to help you as long as you don't have the clear understanding that the basis of life is mainly karma. The others has its own reality, but they don't contribute much. Like the Buddha said, almost 99.99% is drawn by karma, because we are born of it, etheric condition and supported by it, and we are what we are because of karma. So everything is focusing on karma. So the Buddha said, because of that, whatever that happened to you as an individual at any one time, it can be the first aware truth problem, or life problem, or life situation, or whatever that make you miserable, fearful, worry, anxiety, unhappy. There are causes and conditions behind. It's like telling you, whatever that arises within this conditioned world is all dependent originating, condition arising. Without condition, nothing happens. So like rain, how does it rain? There must be condition for it, isn't it? Then it rains. It's not a god that create magic and suddenly make it rain. No. Condition must be there. So when you understand this law of karma, you know that our life is so much dependent on it. So whatever that happened to you, whether people cheat you, abuse you, or any other in reality within the first noble truth, you have to accept, because there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has taught us, mainly karma. If it's mainly karma, then I can come to terms to the reality. It means I have to accept this reality. This is not caused by somebody else. It's all caused by my past action. And past is already gone. You cannot change. But the beauty of karma that they don't understand is, of course, everybody know what karma is in only certain specific sense. You all, every time say, do good because good, isn't it? Do evil because evil, isn't it? Apart from that, what else you know? Then they will continue to elaborate a bit more. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You reap what you sow, and all those things. But is that really what karma is? That is just a small part, not a very critical part. The deep aspect of karma is, like that day I teach in the Tuesday class, how many of you have listened to that tape? You didn't. That one is very important. That was the one that allowed me to explain to most people who have problems and suffering. You see, karma is not like what people think. If you create a wrong action, which you say is a cause, understand? Most people will say, cause? Then, what is it? You say, effect. Karma is not like that. This is a general explanation. It's not correct. That's why that day at the Tuesday class, I used this word. Whatever cause or causes that you arise, means karmic volition. Karmic volition. Volition means mental intention. Give rise to what? Karmic consequences, yeah. Correct? Nah? But this law of karma is very funny. It will give rise to karmic potential. You know what is karmic potential? Most of the time, it's not immediate. Your karmic potential is, it will create the karmic potential and store in your karmic nature. because there is your friction, good or bad. But the bad one is not immediate also, like we know. We did one thought process, 17 thought moments. Then there are 7 in between that you do the deciding decision. When the mental intention went in, they call it the determining thought moment. So this determining thought moment, there are 7 thought moments. So they call it the 7 jhana. So if it happened on the first jhana, what will happen? Yeah? What is the karmic potential? If this very life is there, if there is no condition, this karmic potential cease, wipe off. Understand? Then the 7 jhana, if it happened on the 7, what happened? Next life, and so on. If next life no condition, again the karmic potential cease. But in between 2nd to 6th, this one will follow you for eternity. Understand? And most people do a lot of this thing within here. You know why? They say, to be first is not easy. To be last also not easy. Yeah. But in between, high probability. Because you got 5 in between. So, karmic potential is for you to have the understanding. If let's say my past already gone, isn't it? I can't change my karmic, whatever past, isn't it? True or not? So how do you deal with life? Yeah, it's going to come, understand not? But whenever there is condition, only it come. You understand? No condition, it cannot arise. So this one depends on condition. Depends on condition. That's why I always tell you all, avoid the condition. Do you remember? Remember that? Your car. Don't be a hero. Oh, my nature very good, my karma very good. Then buy new car, no need to lock. Put it there, the key also put there, and start the engine, see whether it disappears. Cannot, yeah. Then dangerous place, like the Buddha say, you need to avoid, you avoid, understand? You don't be a hero, understand? Unless you are helping somebody or trying to overcome certain problem. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to understand, wherever there is condition, karma can actually take off. But without condition, it will not arise. 1st and 7th, you can do something, isn't it? Because only this life and next life is there. True or not? So what do you do? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Don't create negativity of mind state, condition for negative karma to come. Understand? That's why a lot of human beings don't understand. When they are hit with the First Noble Truth reality, because you have so much in the past, understand? Then when you hit, you know what they do? They become fearful, miserable, angry, unhappy. They cannot come to terms with their reality. So through their fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and their anger sometimes, their emotion and all those things, then it depends on their karmic past. If they have a lot of this potential for negative karma to surface, when you are in that state, negative energy field, you understand? You are full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrowful, lamenting, unhappy, deep resentment, a lot of hatred, envy, jealousy. That is the condition for evil negativity to actually take effect. That's why when you have all this mind state, when you have a lot of anger, hatred, and delusion, your life becomes miserable. The more you react to life, the more miserable you become. So to avoid all these things is to have the Dhamma, the Sangha. Then first and seventh, you can overcome. Then the other thing about karma is, if let's say there is condition for it to arise, but if you have the Dhamma, you have the wisdom, if you are not affected by it, do you know what happened? It reversed immediately. I went through the test, I know. After that, gone. So karma is not something that is cast in stone. Oh, I kill people, I will be killed by people. It's not like that. The karmic potential for you to be killed by people is there. But if you don't arise the condition, you can avoid the condition through wisdom, through understanding, then your life can still be pretty beautiful, pretty normal. But it's only when there is no more sasana, you don't have the Dhamma, that's the time you will fall. You will have to reap all those things that you did to people. That's the reason why the Bodhisattva way, the blue book, I teach you to make aspiration and with the right view. So that life after life, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you will have those understanding. Then, whether sasana or no sasana, you will have the Dhamma. Then life become beautiful. You got no more problem with karma. So this topic, how to apply the Dhamma, is very important. How to apply the Dhamma. A lot of people don't understand. You can apply them when you have this understanding. When you understand the law of karma, when you understand how karma functions, how it is all dependent originating, condition arising. Of course, there is cause and effect, but this effect is not immediate. Depend on which jhavana it happens. So all this will confuse a living being because, like that lady told me, Ratio, sometimes I just cannot understand, you see. This guy, this joker, did so much nonsense and yet he is like still enjoying his life and having good time. Because the karmic potential hasn't had a chance to have an effect on him, understand? When there is condition, it will happen. It's just like a politician, you remember? Our recent change of government, when they are in the power, when they are very powerful, today who got charged? Oh, the famous, what they call formidable lawyer. He was the one that fight for a lot of politicians, businessmen, and get them clear of all the whatever thing they do. Oh, he's a very good lawyer. But now, the condition no more because he is on the other side of the table, like the newspaper say, no longer on the ruling side. He end up, he himself also charged. And he has been charged with very severe charges. That's why very immediate. And he need to get five very good lawyers to defend him. And the one who charged him is what? Our famous retired federal judge, Sri Ram Gopal, is it? Sri Gopal Ramawan. Sri Rama. And he is a very, very good federal judge. That's why he's scared of him. He want to, what is the English word? Recluse him. Is that the correct English word? Last time, people want to recluse him, he refused. You know who recused that lawyer? The Shafi Anwar, fight like mad, cannot get rid of him. But now, he cannot back. This is coming. When you are no more in power, the condition change. Then, when there is condition, such a powerful man like the ex-PM can also be charged. And this is very common, not only in our country. we have seen a lot, isn't it? Korea, Taiwan, immediately step down and go to jail. Or kena charges then go to jail. And nowadays it's so common now. So karmic is not what you think. The karmic potential is there, but when there is no condition, it will not arise. This is what you have to understand. So have understanding. They have their karma. You have your karma. Every living being has their karma. Each and every individual must take care of your karma, because that is your life. Understand? That's why Mahayana teaching is 个人吃饭个人饱 Understand? You eat, then only you get yourself feel. You can feel it. Other people eat for you, you think it works or not? It doesn't work, is it? That's why you have to take care of your own life, your own karma. Then whatever you do, it has karmic implication, because it involves volition, which is cittana or mental intention. So this is key to understanding dhamma. When you understand this, you will never violate the nature's law. You will never break the karmic law. That's why the Buddha recommends you have to avoid all evil. All evil you have to avoid. And the most easy guideline is to keep the five precepts. The basic precepts are the major evil. If you can avoid these five major evil, you will have the good life. First precept, Paradipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhi Yami. What is the meaning? I undertake the training rule to avoid or abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. And this is very severe. So when you kill, you cause so much misery, harm, and all those things. And this karmic potential that you create, wherever there is condition, you will have it. That's why you can be smashed up also. You can be clobbered. You can be killed. You can be kidnapped and all those things. Because this is what in the past, karmically, you did to people. Then, a lot of things that happen this life, you cannot look at it superficially from this life, because, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions, and most of these causes and conditions have a lot of things to do with your karmic nature in the past, what you have done to people. Then when the condition fall into place, some heavy one, you cannot run. Even you want to run, that conditioning is so powerful, it keep on coming back. Even Mongalana finally succumbed to it, cannot do anything. He got all the psychic and all those things, and yet he was clobbered to death by this group of violent people who are paid to finish him off. So, understanding the law of karma and the other essential Dhamma will allow you to have the understanding to apply the Buddha Dhamma to life. And you not only can use it to free yourself and to transform your life, to make yourself a better human being, so that you can be a blessing to all, so that you can experience the good life. But with this understanding, when you have the understanding and you have the ability to share, you can actually help a lot of people. That's how you can be a blessing to all. And applying the Dhamma is very simple when you understand. It's just a few essential things. You don't believe, you ask Suyan. Every time you hear me share and all that, then almost everyone will develop the understanding and they turn around very fast. They turn around. And life is not difficult when you understand. When you don't understand, it can be pretty difficult. But why is it, like Sui Han said, a lot of Buddhists, with all this, I don't know, is Dhamma knowledge or what, they cannot apply it. When it hit them, they don't know what to do. They also succumb to it. They also be afflicted, except the true cultivator. Well, last night I remember Yu-chan used to tell me, Pratio advise people very easy, let go lah, why you going to attach, why you going to cling, all this. Aiyah, yeah, stupid lah, the Buddha say non-self, anatta, aiyah, yeah, not really yours lah. Where got husband, where got children? But when it comes to your own children, your own life, is it? It's a different matter altogether. That fear, that attachment, that whatever dhamma you have, the word, that clinging, the thought. He said, just impossible to let go. Because it's not about letting go. The true understanding is not there. You really have to insight into it and awaken to the universal characteristic. Then if you cultivate the Diamond Sutta way or the Six Patriarchs teaching, then very easy, you can relinquish. Not let go. Relinquish means you can just forget about all these things. Because you see very clearly, this is the mundane mind within the conditioned world. That's why the Diamond Sutta has this very powerful stanza. These four stanzas are very powerful. You develop the understanding and teach it, your merits is immeasurable. The Mandarin version stands out very well. Each year you waver. Yeah. Any more space? Maybe can try to write. Each year you waver. Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying, she also know already. Zhu Lu Yi Lu Tian. Just the blue one. This one easier though. Oh, sorry. Okay, that one is. Yes. Each year you waver. Write smaller, okay? No. Okay, like that, okay. Like that, okay. Good. Wow, your writing not bad. Rumon Huan Pao. You all cannot see later come forward. Hong Ah, Mong Wan just said. Mo. Will you look at Ing Bee Kong? Miss Yip got it for you. Like a dew and a lightning flash. Ying Zuo, Ru Si Guan. When you understand this, you no need to practice letting go. Because you see it. You have realized it. That's how you can understand this Diamond Sutta stanza. And then everything becomes very clear. Tonight you listen, it will help you a lot. Thank you, Amy. Never mind. It's good enough. Good enough. Wow, slanting down. Very good. How many of you don't know Mandarin? So many, Wow. That must explain a bit. I also English educated banana one. But somehow, when it comes in Dhamma term, I can understand. Last night, Xuan Hua used to come and give the mata. My wife, Chinese school teacher. You know. I listen. I can repeat what he say. I can explain the thing. My wife cannot understand because that type of China type of Mandarin. Xuan Hua one is very difficult to listen. But funny, I can understand. Okay. So this famous stanza, the meaning is, 一切有为法 ，You know what is 有为法 ？Condition Dhamma, understand? Everything within our conditioned world, yeah, they are subject to condition Dhamma, like what the Buddha say. Whatever that arise, there are causes and condition behind. That's why he teach the dependent origination. Depending on something, something arise.That's why dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Without cause, nothing arises. There is always something to condition something. Yeah. So each yu wei fa means within our conditioned world, this is not the unconditioned, our existential world, the conditioned world, everything is condition arising. Means there is this condition dhamma.And all these conditioned dhamma, they are impermanent. You understand? Because depending on condition, they arise. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. When condition continue to evolve and change, it continue to move, continue to evolve, and continue to change. That's why the conditioned dhamma, when you understand, when you see it clearly with your mindfulness, and when you are able to insight into it, you will awaken.That they are all not real because it's impermanent. So it's, they call zu mong, it's like dreamlike, understand? Like you are dreaming. When you are dreaming, it's within the subconscious and the unconscious arising of the dream. Zu mong. Huan is illusion. Like the Buddha said, consciousness is like a magician or illusionist, they create illusion for you.Appear like very solid and very real, but it's not real. Yeah. So, zu mong is dreamlike, huan is illusion, pao is like a bubble. You know bubble, eh? The Buddha's analogy for feeling, like a bubble, pop, gone. So, feeling is moment to moment. Okay? So, how real can it be? It's just like the present moment we already went through.This is the only reality in life, the highest present moment. Your past already gone, no more reality. Future yet to come, no more reality. The present moment. How real is the present moment? How stable is the present moment? The moment you talk about it, it's gone. Understand? Split second is gone, like the bubble, pop, gone. And this is the only reality in life. So moment to moment life passes by so fast. What are you doing? There's an emptiness.Empty nature existence is actually moment to moment dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena. You can see all this, you will insight, you will awaken, then you will understand this poem so beautifully. So like a dream, like an illusion, like a bubble, and like a shadow that keep on following you. Understand? You know what a shadow is? You cannot hit it on, you cannot catch it on. But it's always there for you. Understand? So your thought is the same. You have been haunted by this wrong thought. Understand? It keeps on following you. That's why it's like a shadow. Keep on following you. So Dhammapada verse 1 is the same. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises.That's why the Buddha said, we choose to take care of mind, otherwise you will suffer. He said, if you were to act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, means you didn't train yourself, you don't have mindfulness, you are heedless, what will happen to you? Suffering will follow you. Yeah? Like the wheel that follow the oxen's.Hoof, I forgot already. Yeah. So that part is very clear. If you are heedless, you will get into trouble. Yeah. Then the second part is the best. Is it? If you are serious about life, then you understand the importance of this mind, because it's the forerunner of all things. So we choose train our mind to be ever mindful, to be aware, to be heedful.So that we will always act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind. Yeah. Wholesome mind means what? Free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what happened? happiness will follow you. That's how you develop the ability to have the happy life, the good life, like the shadow that never leave you. But that shadow and this shadow is different. No? Well, that is good life following you. No? Here is illusion following you. No? That's why Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying. Then all these are impermanent. Zhu Lu Ilu Tian means it's like a dew and a lightning flash. You know what is a lightning flash? Very fast, gone already. Yeah. And life is really like that. Everything is in a state of flux. You look at your own physical body and mind. Your pulse of life, your heartbeat, your vibration, whatever, your thought process, your feeling, they come and go very fast. Arise and pass away very fast. The dew is like a morning dew. Morning dew, if the temperature is below dew point, you see this dew. Eh? Then sunrise, what happened to the dew? It just evaporated, eh? Gone. Eh? Life is just like that. You think you can be forever young? Eh? Forever don't get sick, don't get old? No such thing. We are dependent on condition, it changes. That's why this one goes the way of nature. And everything is like a dew. Eh? When the sun rises, the condition changes. The night is already over, temperature no longer below dew point, then it's gone. So life is just so fragile, anasana, so unreal, not what you think. Yeah. So this poem is very good, you see. 一切有为法, 如梦幻泡影, 如露一如天. When you understand this, what must you do? 应作如是观. You must contemplate it such. Reflect and contemplate until this one becomes very, very clear. Second turning wisdom. Then, when you are mindful in the midst of life, the third turning, at any one time, you will awaken. Now, this is very powerful. When you know that it's dreamlike, illusionary, will you still hold, cling, and grasp? You will never. But because you don't know, you think it's real. Everything is real to human being, to living being. Especially when you see the form and mind, my daughter, my son, my spouse, or my husband, or my wife, or my parents, my brother, my sister, my good friend. Because you really give birth to them, especially the mother. How can you say, not my children? He must be crazy. Then they have been with you for so long. There is such thing as relationship, feeling, emotion, and all those things. Then through memory, it will create a lot of attachment. But when you have the Dhamma, it's different. Because the Buddha teach both sides. Within the conditioned world, everything is unreal. But within the same conditioned world, there is such thing as the law of karma. You understand? You understand? That's why you cannot simply do things. So this one is to break free from delusion, from attachment. You understand? So I write here. This poem is for you to break free no more space to write. I have to rub a bit. Never mind, never see, okay.
Keep this position to him.
Oh, never mind. Break free from your delusion and attachment. Yes. Okay, very good. So, can I? Ayo, the one almost gone. Yeah, I know how to write this one. This one just one horizontal stroke. I know how to write. So this is the wisdom part, understand that? So wisdom part. For you to break free from your delusion and attachment to the existential world. But you must not forget. That's why all of the enlightened beings, they will know. The enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they are subject to this law of karma. Law of karma. No space to write. Law of karma. So the form and mind is subject. Form and mind. Within the conditioned world, there is such thing as a form and mind, a human being, an individual. Law of karma recognizes relationship. You cannot ignore. You cannot say, "Hey, each year you wave a rumor, when power you lose, you lose tien. Where got son, where got wife and all those things." This is for your understanding that ultimately all these form and mind are unreal, understand? It's impermanent. You attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I. That's why it's not an eternal unchanging nature that you can hold on to, cling on to forever. In that state, no. Within the conditioned world, nothing can stay the same for even 2 moments. Even our physical body, everything is in a state of flux, vibrating. Every cell, every element, even the solid chair, same. They are made of atoms, elements, electron, the various type of scientific elements inside there and things. And they are in a state of flux, energy. So because the form and mind is subject to karma, that's why we have a right duty to perform. Means to take care of karma, you have to perform your right duty. That's why you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind to develop the wisdom. Then your karmic nature becomes beautiful because you don't violate the law of karma. And that is wisdom leading to that understanding for you to do your duty. Means, as a human being, when you come to this world, you have a duty. Your duty towards your fellow living beings. Duty towards the environment. Duty towards society. And everything that you come into relationship with or contact with. So this duty is very powerful. That's why under the salutation to the Sangha, we always chant Samiji, Patipano, Bhagavato, and all those things. So the first one is Supatipano, Bhagavato, Savaka Sangho. That one, the meaning is of good character or good conduct. It's the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the second one is what? No, after Supatipanno, Ujjupatipanno, the third one is Jnana means wisdom, of wise conduct. The second one is Ujjupatipanno, of upright conduct, means you are very righteous. You are very truthful, very sincere, very righteous. The first one is of good conduct. Your conduct is very, very good. You are very kind, very generous, very pleasant. You are full of gratitude, respect, and all those things. You have very good conduct. Upright means righteous, honest, sincere. So I'm going to get you the wet char kway teow. That's why she parked. She parked the car outside today. He texts me, tonight we go. We get you the chakadeo. So you have nice supper. That's, so this last one is very important. Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangha. Samichi means of dutiful conduct. You do your duty. So when you understand all this, you can apply the Dhamma. You understand now? Last time, you all learned about all this, but you don't know how to link them and connect them and use them. Especially the four great virtues of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. What is of good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, and the last one is dutiful conduct. You do your duty. That's why I was very fortunate because of my nature. I met my first teacher, Ajayantra. You know what he told me? Right duty is right dhamma in Thai. Right duty is right dhamma. If you have right duty, you have the dhamma. Wow, the moment I heard that, I full of joy. You know? Because I understood what that thing is. You know? And you can read dhamma book. Where do people teach you about right duty? You realize that? Very few. Yeah. They always teach you how to become enlightened. Yeah. Or have this jnana, that jnana, that jnana, I always say. But when it comes to living life, you don't even know what are the noble qualities of an enlightened being. The four great qualities that we recite in the salutation to the Sangha. Then because the Buddha is the fourth noble truth, told us specifically, there is this fourth noble truth that speak or explain about the importance of cultivating this noble eightfold path. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, the Buddha said, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So that is the meditation. So when you become enlightened, you will have the embodiment of this noble eightfold path factor. Means you have right view, you have wisdom towards all the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the three spiritual laws: law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth or dhamma. That's why with right view, you will condition the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. You will never go wrong. Without this right view with regards to these three spiritual laws of nature, the spiritual law, which is karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama, you cannot start living life. Because these are the guiding principles, that's why it's the first power factor. So with this right view, which is wisdom, it will condition the right thought. Where you won't violate the law of karma. And you know how your mind functions. That's why you will know how to arise the right thought. You will know how to apply the four right effort to purify your thought process. Abandon the unwholesome thought, speech and action. Then prevent them from arising when you have the understanding. Before they arise, you already understand, aware. Yoniso manasikara. Straight away you assist, it cannot arise. Then, not only that, the third right effort is to cultivate whatever wholesome thought, right speech, right action, and that are not in you. You have to constantly develop them. Then you have to understand what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, or right communication now. So when you have this understanding, then only you can put it into cultivation or practice in the daily life. That's why life itself is the meditation. Nothing is apart from life. That's why Hui Ning, he always teach this way. Meditation is never apart from life. You have to go back to life. It's in life that you can cultivate the right speech, right action, and right thought, and the right livelihood. And relationship and all that. The law of karma recognizes it. you don't have this, you will violate the karma. You will become like very, very heedless. Especially the four type of wrong speeches. You know, eh? The four type of wrong speeches. What are they? Harsh speech, okay? Then telling lies, then backbiting, say bad thing behind people, then simply talk, frivolous speech. If you are heedless, if you are not mindful, you don't have the noble eightfold path or right view, you tend to arise all this type of what they call wrong speech. The opposite of wrong speech are right speech, kind, gentle, good speeches that brings about love, understanding, harmony. Yeah. So all this is very, very important. So when you come out into life, after you have cultivated the Dhamma, you have to start applying all this understanding so that when you are able to have this in the midst of life, means the Noble Eightfold Path factor is part of your nature, then only you stand a chance to be enlightened. Otherwise, you are still far away. Because the right view is not easy to perfect. Because there are three things that are very powerful. Even the law of karma is already so complicated, the first right view. And this one brings forth a lot of the Buddha's teaching already. The famous Dhammapada verse, the advice of all Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyottapanam etang buddhana sasana. So this one all come from the first right view, law of karma. Then when you understand that, when you understand the advice of the Buddha, you will know why the Buddha say to avoid all evil, you have to keep the precepts. Otherwise you cannot avoid evil. Then to do good, you have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, wholesomeness, and all those things. That's why the whole of the Noble Eightfold Path is actually avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, the advice of the Buddha. That's why Sila, Samadhi, and Panya are all there. And all the whole teaching are linked, related. But what is being taught are all like separate Dhamma. And most people teach without understanding, even the separate Dhamma also, they don't know the essence behind. They just book knowledge, whatever they read, they just translate it to you or share with you. They cannot link, that's why they cannot apply. So law of karma itself is already so complex, so difficult, not easy to understand. Then law of mind, the 12 link, is even more difficult without mindfulness. Without a stable daily mindfulness, you cannot see the link. You cannot understand what the Buddha meant. Actually, to understand the link also for a lot of Buddhists, a lot of cultivated meditators, also not easy. You can't even understand, how can you see? Do you understand? Yeah? You cannot realize something that you don't understand. Yeah? Like you say, I got problem. I want to solve my problem. But you don't even know what your problem is. Correct or not? Most of the case is like that, isn't it? First noble truth, reality. They know they are miserable, suffering. But they don't know why they suffer. No, no. They always point finger. That guy, the company, my boss, if I don't go there, I won't become like that. Stress, however. Is that the truth? Bayon Kati always asks, is that the truth? Whatever the thought is telling you, then is it really the truth? The second line of questioning. Then the third line of questioning turn you around. Yeah? Without this thought, yeah? What will you be? Oh, sorry, the third one is, if you think this thought, what happened to you? You become miserable. Yeah? That's why all these are wrong thoughts. So if you know that when you think this thought, you become more miserable, then the fourth line of questioning is to take you out of it. That's why he said, forget about all these wrong thoughts. These are killing you, tormenting you, and you still want to hold on to it. So the last one is, without this thought, before this thought comes, you are peaceful. Like your mind before it stir is in the original state of awareness, in the silence and stillness, isn't it? So this is so beautiful. So when you understand, then this wrong thought, the four right effort, you're supposed to abandon them, isn't it? How to abandon? The five way, you remember? And the five way, the third way is the meditative way, understand or not? That's how you root out all these wrong thoughts. The meditative way means what? Silent, aware. Then you come to understand these are dependent, originating, impermanent, not real. Without wrong view, you won't stir, you won't react, you won't arise. Can you see? So when you understand that these are wrong thought, dependent, originating, condition arising, not real, not intrinsic in you, means anger was never me, fear was never me, phobia was never me, then why do I become miserable always? Why did I say, I still got anger, I still got fear? A lot of meditators and cultivators always go and blame themselves. After so many years in and out retreat, I fail again, I still got anger. In the very first place, anger was never you. But you don't see this, you don't do the third way. Relax, aware. Then see it, ceasing. Then you wake up. What is all this emotion? Like the Buddha said, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not intrinsic to your true nature. They are never a part of you. They are not you. They come and they go. So when you understand this, then you realize, the Dhamma is so simple, but people don't get it. You know what most people do, meditators do? Anger is an evil root. Fear is an evil root. So what they do? They want to get rid of anger. It's like sunsiu, understand? Polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. What is dust? They said that defilement is dust. Your anger, your hatred. This one, top level. That's why they are trapped. They are duality. But when you understand that they are not you, these are duality created by you through wrong view, you straighten your view, then you can see things as they are, means what? They are just the way they are. Angry people do angry things, say angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Greedy people do greedy things. They are just the way they are. The world is the world. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. I accept. Whatever reality come, I accept. Accept through what? Through wisdom, through understanding. Then, at peace. That's why the third way is just silent, aware, acceptance, and see it ceasing. Then you realize all these are impermanent, not real, dependent, originating. Then you realize the teaching is so beautiful. Each year you waver, ru meng huan pao, no reality, come and go, come and go. Ru ru yi lu tian. Then, this one, you can straight away allow it to be, forget about it. You will never touch it. Because this is tormenting you and making you miserable. And you have seen it in the meditation. Understand not? The only thing you haven't developed is the wisdom part. That's why I say you go to the fourth way, to trace the origination factor. Like the Buddha said, when you meditate, the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, you will come to realize that all these wrong thoughts arise through one of your senses, understand not? Either through what you see, what you hear, or what you think. These three doors, very powerful. And then from there, through your views, opinion, conditioning, and memory, views and opinion, religious belief, and all those things, you react to it. That's how wrong view come to be. Acting according to memory is not acting. You didn't use wisdom to act, understand not? You see the flaw, the memory said, this guy last night did all those things to me. Then what happened? You develop the anger or dislike for this person. That's how you stir. But when you have the wisdom and understanding, you can see things as they are and accept him for what he is. Accept the world for what it is too. Condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Understand? So with this wisdom, I straighten my view to see things as they are and to accept the reality of the moment We are like the Buddha say, condition of that things will like that, I can't change. This is the reality. Like Vayankati also know. You cannot argue with what is the reality. You argue with the reality what is. You will suffer. You say, every time she do that, she suffer. That's why she, after that, enough. He accept. Finish. That's why when you develop the right understanding, you will trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively, through this understanding, you reverse it. Then you realize with this wisdom, you don't need to suppress your anger. That's all. You don't need to suppress your fear. That's all. You don't need to go and look for that charm or whatever. That's all. The what they call sampo. What you call in English? Amulet. Talisman or amulet. Or the fool. Fool you call what? You don't need to hold on to all those things to suppress your fear, you know, or to develop the faith. You know. Then what happens when you lose that one? I tell you, you really intense fear. Especially people who wear this and condition until without this, they really don't have confidence at all. It's just like somebody who is used to have bodyguard because too much money. Then the bodyguard missing, I tell you, they're full of fear. The thought will project. With bodyguard also, people can come after me. Without bodyguard, how? Then for us, nothing to worry. We go everywhere very safe because we didn't show or splash and create condition for things to happen. Okay? So this application part today, I cover it very comprehensively. So I realize this is something that you all need to develop. And you will move to the next phase of cultivation, which is putting it into practice. The Dhamma not only apply, you put it into your daily life. You cultivate it, you practice it. And this is Patipatti. After you have learned the teaching, Pariyatti, then you put it into practice in the daily life. That is Patipatti. Then after that you awaken, you realize all this, you understand all this. You will receive the fruit of your hard work, Pativeda. You will get to live the beautiful life of an enlightened being, of a noble one. Okay, so with this, I will end. You got any question? We still got 10 minutes. Yeah. Now he clear already. Now he is so much different. So different from last time. Last time he coming, you can feel his fear, his phobia, and his negativity inside. And I think also his good karma, because you have to suffer for that period. I told you before that. Because you know, like Sui An, every life brings so many people. Yeah. So next time he come out very fast. Your people, Guilin, will bring him. That's why this is his parami coming. Where you don't have that parami that much. You got but don't have that much. So that's why you have to go through that how many years? Half of your life, 14 years or what? 14 or 15 years, then you finally meet him. But your parami very good. Your affinity with my nature very good. Immediately, within less than a month, you start to understand all this complicated teaching. And because of his... Then he came to my house. After that first session, Sui An texted me, how was it? I said, he's okay already. Then after that, Sui An received from him, oh, never believe can be like that. He had been for so many years in that depressive and suicidal state, and suddenly he come out. Then later on, the refinement, he don't understand. That's why he has to come the second time, I think, a few weeks later. Then after that, the Thursday class become very clear. Then he even helped him in his career. Understand? His work and all those things. You ask him, you know. He developed the confidence, the understanding, and he realized all these things that is affecting him was karmic conditioning from the past. Then when he understand these are not real, he just one by one pluck them off. Then he have faith. Yeah. Then he see, he's silent. All this happen. Yeah. Oh, got phone. Yes. Pass the mic to Angie for the recording. Yeah. Just slide it the top. Okay. Until the light come out. Slide it to the side. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Angie.
Brother Teo.
Yeah.
You know about the condition of Dr. Ui, right?
Yeah.
Recently, she had a fall again.
Yeah. Oh, again? Second time.
And, she's now at FJMC.
Okay.
So, we are wondering how to help her in recovery,
I have already spoken. I have already spoken to them that time, but I didn't know the husband got hearing problem. So for many sessions, he was at the back, he didn't hear. And we don't know, only until the last session, where is the coming. The last session, when he start to listen, where I asked him to come in front, where I realized a lot of questions I asked him, he don't seem to have a clear comprehension, because he cannot hear, he got hearing problem. Then he told us, and I asked him to sit in front. Immediately after that class, she fell. Then she didn't turn out. And this one, you need to have understanding and faith. But the coming obstruction is strong. The Dhamma cannot go through. So what she can do for herself, if she really have the faith, is to do the three things that I advise her to do. In front of the Buddha, but she is a Christian, that's why very difficult. Ask for forgiveness, repentance, vow not to repeat all this. This acceptance of the past is a past coming thing. Although you can say as a doctor you help many people, correct. But that those coming actions that lead to all this suffering is also caused by the past coming. So when this one comes, it can be very severe. Well, like she said, it deteriorated very fast the last few years. That's why she has to give up her practice. So if she has this understanding of the law of karma, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. You have this understanding, then your faith can be very strong. Then you can accept this reality. Means don't feel sad. Don't lament anymore. Don't become unhappy. Develop the ability to accept this reality, then ask for forgiveness, then determine to change, to follow the advice of the Buddha, to keep the precepts, to avoid all evil, to do good, do more charity, and as I know, radiate more love and all those things. Then meditate, purify the mind, develop the beautiful mind state, positive energy. Then after about 3 months, when the merits is already there, invoke power of merits. By the power of whatever merits that this nature of mind has developed since knowing the Dhamma, may it arise the causes and conditions for my physical body or physical sickness or illness to recover to normal mind state so that I can regain back my life to live the normal life again. Do this, it will clear. Yeah. The husband also can do on her behalf. Then if you invoke power of merits, you ask for forgiveness, all this karmic negativity you can avoid. Where your mind state become more beautiful, like just now I mentioned. When her mind state improves, there is less condition for negative karma to arise. Otherwise, because she is so depressed, unhappy, sad, because of her condition, she just cannot accept that reality. He has to give up her beautiful profession as a doctor just because her hand is affecting her. But he doesn't realize this is karmic. So if you continue to have that negativity of mind state, you cannot open up, you cannot develop the meditative silence, stillness and joy and happiness, and you don't know how to invoke the power of merit to transform, to become a better person so that your mind state are all beautiful, so that you will not allow the condition for the past karmic to come and complicate the matter more. Then you will not fall down, you will not have all this problem. Understand? Then you can recover. Yeah. But all this boils down to faith, because she happened to be a Christian. Yeah. And it's not easy for her to understand all this, because when I talk, I realize she is not like those who have the affinity, the past good karma to receive this. He has the condition to come and meet up with my nature, but he don't have the condition to receive this truth. You understand? Never mind. As long as they have this understanding and faith and do what I mean. You don't have to be a Buddhist to do what I tell you to do, understand or not? So no need. In front of Jesus also can do that. Yes. Repent. Because Jesus also teach about love and compassion. Jesus love and compassion keep the 10 commandments. Understand? So you follow the advice of Jesus, have love, have compassion, keep the commandment, except they don't know how to invoke the power of merit. They always thank God for whatever happened. Understand? So this is where it debate. Because they don't know what that thing is. But if your faith is very strong, you have goodness, then there is also a response. But it comes in a different way, because they call that miracle, that God is at work. But like the Buddha said, everything must go the way of nature. So how long can God help you? Because it goes the way of nature. You recover is because your faith is very strong and your mind state all very pure, and you decide to follow the advice of Jesus, means develop the love, the compassion, keep the commandment, then do good. They do a lot of good, charity and all. That's how indirectly they do prayer. Prayer is like our aspiration. Prayer means what? Pray for God to help them. So you have deep faith in that entity. It's like nature, Mother Nature. So Mother Nature actually respond, because Jesus could be one of the great beings, I don't know. But the teaching is not the way it is. But they claim that Christianity also have meditation, but their meditation is prayer. It's different. So whatever it is not important. The basic nature's law is take care of karma. That's it. Do not cause suffering and misery. And they believe in the other way. They say, God is all merciful. He sent His only Son to take away all the original sin of mankind. Which means, according to their teaching, their sins are all taken, forgiven. But then how come still so many problems? I don't know. So different religion teach different things. So it's not about religion. This is nature's law, truth. No need to use the word Buddhist teaching. It is the Dhamma, which is truth. So when they understand this, it can actually help them. This recording, you can let them listen to the end, the last part. If they can follow with the faith, they will turn around and recover and become beautiful. Because you have the affinity and you are very sincere, you want to help them, and you are close to them, related somewhere. Sadhu to you, rejoice. Then if you want, we can invoke power of merit to help her. Okay? Oh, just nice, 10:30. Okay. So let us do our part, huh? And we should actually thank Sister Angie for making such wholesome requests. Huh? Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the last 2 hour plus. Then maybe share and transfer this merits to all beings. Then maybe also make use of it to invoke the power of merits for whatever recovery that can come about to Dr. Wee, who is now in SJMC. May arise the causes and conditions for her to develop the faith in such understanding or such teaching, so that he can do the necessary to improve her life, turn around and become a more beautiful living being. Then may it also arise the causes and conditions for her to slowly recover from her whatever disease or sickness or condition. Then when he recover, may it allow her to have the causes and conditions to have the strong faith and determination to go this way, so that he can later fully recover. Just do the 3 things. Ask for forgiveness or repentance, then vow not to repeat it. Then keep the precept, follow the advice of the Buddha. Then do good through donation, offering or whatever, or radiating love and metta and all those things. Then after that, meditate to have a calm, peaceful and silent mind. Then radiate love, metta. Then have more compassion, have more joy. First radiate love to herself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well. And feel the well-being and happiness within her entire body. Every cell, each and every cell within her entire physical body and your mind, the well-being. If you do that, the positive energy will help her to raise her immunity. Then the calm state of mind will give her the good mind to recover better. So all this can help. Then invoking the power of merit, she has to do this for at least 3 months. Because over the period it will build up. You can listen to my recording or whatever. Then after that, invoke power merits for her recovery. Then it will be very, very effective. Or we call it potent, in the sense that it's based on understanding of the nature's law. It's not magic. It's not psychic. It's just understand. And many people has recovered. Some are worse than her case, more complicated. They also recover. Then the husband or the family member, close one, they can help her by on her behalf, ask for forgiveness and all those things. Then do whatever wholesomeness on her behalf. Because she in this condition, maybe she herself cannot do, but the husband, the loved ones, other family members can on her behalf help her to do. Not necessarily donate to Buddhist charity or what, no. Christianity, any religion also can. Or any organization where you feel that it can help people, they can do it. Because these are merits that can be put to good use. Okay. Then now we will share merits. We have all been starting with the devas. Aka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang animoditva cirang rakhantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontunya teyo Imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones, family and...